Good evening, ladies and gentle truckers everywhere, and welcome to another edition of Hutton Orbital Live from Studio 5 here in Alpha Centauri. As usual, I will be being your Rudolf Hucker, and it is my very great pleasure to welcome to the studio your crew for the evening. First tonight, all the way from the Imperial Gladiatorial Fighting Arena, we are joined by the current super heavyweight champion of the galaxy. Let's get ready to rumble with Arthur Rites.
I'm sorry. I think you seem to have got me confused with somebody else.
Hang on. It says here you're Arthur.
Indeed, sir. You're quite right. People often make that mistake. However, my pugilistic tendencies are reserved for hitting the textbooks hard before space exploration examinations. last time I actually hit anything, it was the bottle. And I can tell you, that broken finger ached for months.
Well, that throws out the jokes for this script, then. We're really on the ropes now. Well, joining us from Canon Interstellar, we have Icarus Maru.
Good evening, folks.
We've lost him again. Well, the Atrus 5060 is still missing in action, and we're hoping to have Icarus back with us any second now. But for the time being, good to have you aboard. But moving
good evening, I'm Trackers back. From the team on the Gnosis. Atrius 5060 appears to still be missing in action, so I'm here for all the science that you need for the week.
Oh, good to have you on board at last. Quick question, was the Icarus Maru the one that Kirk cheated on?
No.
Right, well, before we make a mess of anything else here and I get it completely wrong because we got the wrong people, we do have, I think, Paul McCockney.
All right, mate.
And a pair of snockers, reunited now that Norma found the loo after the last show.
Good evening from him.
And good evening from her.
And now, time for the headlines. Out of cheese error solved as mysteries unfold.
Cross chat starts as Atom goes cross platform.
Team Hotbox apologise again for something they did.
Hudson shut down tantrum as government fails to back his Thargoid wall.
All the latest from the battlefront against the Thargoids from Canon Interstellar.
Lou's been loosed with news from Hutton Space.
Enormous knockers seen at the launch of the new CGs.
First tonight, in conjunction with boffins from Canon Interstellar, microbiologists and xenobotanists, Hutton News is exclusively able to reveal where all the cheese disappeared to in the year 3300. After 5 years of searching, exploration teams, headed up of course by Dr. R. Cannon, have finally located that piece of brie you left in the fridge after Christmas all those years ago, along with the Stilton that nobody wanted to finish as it got a bit pongy, and the Jarlsberg that had turned into a Bakelite. Yet after one particularly cheese-filled galactic Christmas, it had all gone so bad after being left uncovered in the fridge that the agents of the Dark Cheese Wheel had flushed all the galaxy's cheese supplies into deep space. It is only now, after 5 whole years, that the devastating effects of this have become apparent, as pilots return to populated space with stories of giant fungus, xenobacillus, semi-sentient Eden balls, penicillin the size of small moons, and strange spiky things that may or may not have evolved from the leftover chutney on the side of the plate. The effects of deep space radiation have given birth to a wealth of bizarre creatures and fungal infections to terrify even the most hardy watcher of Attenborough the 15th's The Life of Cheese, the Collywobbles. From gourd mollusks to collared pods, from giant anemones to singing brain trees, Hutton can exclusively confirm they've totally made up all they're made from leftover cheese Christmas cheese that's been in space for too long and subject to radiation, nebula gases, repeated heating and cooling, probably a little fermentation due to Lagrange clouds and a little electricity. Let this be a warning. If you have been in direct contact with these strangely evolved and possibly semi-sentient milk products, there's even a vegan one we've been told out by Colonia that's made of mushrooms, please ensure that you wash your hands and ship thoroughly, and whatever you do, stand down solar wind of everyone until you get the quarantine safe signal. You wouldn't want some militant Wensleydale to start eating your hull, nor would you want an extreme case of mods hysteria brought on by space listeria.
Scientists, engineers, and computer science majors have announced this week that they've been unable to connect pilots using rival ship communication systems available to Hutton. Luckily, we've got a fusion, an Intarius fusion, and he's jury-rigged some tinfoil, a couple of old mobile phones, and some string with the aid of a team of well-fed hamsters, and has managed to pinpoint the location of hotbox commanders to add to the Hutton helper. Hot on the heels of this, working with a couple of sound engineers from this very studio and Commander Claire Helen, they've managed to get the Translatortron 3000 in action and allow Hutton ships to communicate with each other. Yes, they've begun trials of HOTCOM, allowing PWP to go on even when you're using your thumbs to fly spaceships. We've all just got to learn to speak like Team Hotbox do now. Keep your eyes peeled for details of the HOTCOM in forthcoming weeks.
And now, we seem to be a bit big on the box this week. Here's a severe Hutton incident transcript message from Hotbox. Incident location, Colonia. Date and time of incident, 1300 hours, Wednesday 26 December, 3304. Reporting officer, Commander Mia Haler. Circulate to His Fluffiness, Sir Alvin Defer, and Progenitor Lael Wolf. Type of incident. Security? Yep. Outbreak? Yep. Traffic? Yep. Hotbox? Yep. Type of damage? Life? Yep. Ship? Yep. Station? Yep. Psychological scarring? Yep. All of the above. And, interspecies war. Message proceeds. Hi, it's me again. It was a day after Christmas, and all through Colonia, not a creature was stirring. Apart from Umbrella Ella Ella Mollusks and four Hotbox numpties in a pair of Type 9s, which we've flown out from the bubble especially. After extensive research and a scouting trip, Commander Short Engineer 78, known to Dan as his mates, directed us to the first site. I brought Commanders Rampage 737 and Wraith Bobby B out with me. Both were very excited to have a day out and sit in the downstairs seat with Frisky Hippo. Our first encounter went well, with lots of oohs and ahs and hollow selfies being taken. We met up with Dan in Shaky Moo Moo, and he took us over to another Lagrange crowd to see a different kind of space mollusk. This time they were yellow-green. Fancy that. As we got up close for a scan, there was some commotion on the lower bridge. Rampage was complaining that his mug holder was on the wrong side of the chair and that he couldn't reach it properly, whilst Booby was shouting something about not being able to see the mollusk because of the canopy strut. The bickering continued as I launched camera suite drones to get some images for the codex. The argument downstairs had descended into full-on slapses, air pudding and high-pitched screams after Bobby spilled Rampage's coffee whilst trying to get a better view. With all this going on, I may have accidentally triggered the thruster's boost and propelled us into the nearest mollusk. There was a sort of crunch from the Frisky Hippo and a yelp from the mollusk as it was bounced backwards across the system. Of course, Dan recorded the whole thing and uploaded it immediately to Galnet. I was contacted by a local flight prevention officer and ordered to the nearest station. I tried to argue that it was my birthday and the whole headbutting an umbrella mollusk with a Type 9 thing was just high spirits, and she was having none of it. She was very grumpy. Something about starting an interspecies war? The Frisky Hippo was undamaged though. The last part may be true, but since the umbrella mollusks are 21,000 light years away and they're really, really slow, I wouldn't bother about them just yet. So, here we are again. On behalf of Team Hotbox, I'm very sorry, and etc. You know the drill. Happy New Year, Mia Howe, Apology Officer, Team Hotbox. P.S. Sorry again.
Local political loony and self-styled saviour of the galaxy, President Hudson, has thrown his government to the wolves this week as he is refusing to give them keys to the federal treasury to pay for important projects like everybody's salary, due to being blocked from funding an anti-Thargoid wall around federal space. Said to be costing many billions of millions of trillions of credits, the wall, originally thought to be a Dyson sphere of incredible size, and clearly beyond the capabilities of human engineering, is now said to be a big string line between all of the systems holding notices at several intervals saying, "Thargoids not welcome" on it. President Hudson is said to be outraged that his idea has not been taken seriously and is threatening not to pay anyone until someone ties the string on, pays for it. He says Tharg the Mighty is paying, but we don't know what green and sticky currency that will be in, and of course hails it as a success. The federal government states that everything is fine. This will all blow over by next week when a compromise will be reached that probably involves taking his latest communication device away and promising to name another federal capital ship after his mum. In the meantime, we understand that the entire Federation is surviving on donation missions in the Sol system, cunningly disguised as a method to increase your federal rank on the way to getting hold of your very own Corvette. Other ships, of course, are available, including those lovely ones from Lakon Spaceways. We won't mention the Imperial ones, though, as they're decidedly suggestive-looking, and were probably designed after a particularly entertaining orgy on Akinar. That reminds me, did I ever tell you about that time that I met the Emperor at one of those?
Good evening, Hutton Truckers. Icarus Maru reporting from Canon Interstellar Research to give you the latest news in and around Thargoids and their menacing activities. Last week, pilots successfully defended against the incoming attacks on several systems. This week, the current threats are in several spots. The first two can be found in the bubble, those systems being Ross 596 and Nian. In the Pleiades Nebula, three systems are under attack, those being the systems of Atlas, Leon, and Soleno. Any pilots wishing to combat the threat are requested to report to the reported systems and drop into non-human signal sources to combat any Thargoids within. Anyone wishing on advice to build their ships can report to Cadet's Lab 69 or to the Anti-Zeno Initiative. Operation IDA has requested that all combative pilots divert their efforts to defend the Pleiades systems under attack, especially the Soleno system, as it is one of their two home systems. Any pilots unable to fight back are requested to deliver commodities to Cleaver Prospect in the system of Pleiades Sector HR-WD1-57. And that's all for tonight from Cannon's Report. Best of luck, truckers, and for the mug.
Under the new system, we've had elections in Wolf 359, where we won Powell High, and Epsilon Indy, where we won an installation. We have also had wars in Alpha Centauri, where we won to retain control of our assets and the system, and in Ross 671, where we won Watson Port. So, despite the changes, we're still keeping everything under control, and there is little of note to report. We are basically in investment. Almost all systems are in this state, apart from a couple of booms. So regardless, it's a great time to get out there and make some money. The only system where another faction is a bit close is Trepin, so a bit of work there will be useful. Apart from that, check the influence page on hot.forthemug.com and work from the bottom up.
Oh, matron.
Over in Colonia, or Colalonia, as our recent lovely guest has renamed it, we have an election in Tyr which we want to win, so please do not deliver any exploration data there, as we don't own any of the stations. We've had a bit of a drop in EOL Procol Centauri, so when you've had your fill of helping the election, a few missions there would be helpful. Deriso is also fairly stable, so that just needs keeping steady. Now, over to my beloved Norma and her gorgeous pair of CGs.
Both Federal and Imperial Navies requesting supplies of various commodities this week. An open order for military supplies has been placed on behalf of the Federal Navy by the League of Zerla, and a parallel operation is being run by the Imperial faction, the Sursur Company. More details later.